ज्ञवित्ता व्यतिसंग वृद्धा वैरानुबंधो विवहन् मिथश्च अद्वन्यमुस्मिन् उरुकृच्छ वित्ता बाधोपसर्गैर्विहरन् विपन्नः
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Due to monetary transactions, relationships become very strained and end in enmity. Sometimes the husband and wife walk on the path of material progress. And to maintain their relationship, they work very hard. Sometimes, due to scarcity of money or due to diseased conditions, they are embarrassed and almost die. Purport. In this material world, there are many transactions between peoples and societies, as well as between nations. But gradually, these end in enmity between the two parties. Similarly, in the marriage relationship, monetary transactions are sometimes overpowered by dangerous conditions of material life. One then becomes diseased or monetarily embarrassed. In the modern age, most countries have developed economically, but due to business exchanges, relationships seem to be strained. Finally, wars are declared between nations, and as a result of those upheavals, there is destruction all over the world, and people suffer heavily. Hare Krishna. So today, we are continuing in our discussion of the embarrassment of the conditioned living entity when he or she tries to come into this material world and enjoys independence of the Supreme Lord. And in this fascinating analogy that Jadabharat is describing to Maharaj Rahuguna about how the living entity is compared to the merchant who has gone into the forest with an idea that I will enjoy, exploit, and create a wonderful situation for myself, but is embarrassed by the realities when his expectations are smashed to pieces. When in the forest, instead of unrestricted, uninterrupted enjoyment, he experiences varieties of challenges, difficulties, becomes bewildered, embarrassed, and is practically about to die. In this verse specifically, Srila Prabhupada is explaining about relationships that begin with great enthusiasm, whether it is between marriage partners, whether it is between business partners, or whether it is between national or international partners. However, as these transactions are continued in due course of time, it is experienced that the same personalities who are the best of friends eventually become the worst of enemies. And then there are wars, and everyone suffers heavily. Yesterday, His Grace Vraj Bihari Prabhu was so beautifully explaining that an insight into how these expectations and illusions in this world create so much hope for the living entity. But if somebody has a vision, he can see through these illusions. And Vraj Bihari Prabhu was giving the example of how today's movies, they depict the illusion of love, fun, but all that excitement that they show is all the relationship that takes place only before marriage. As soon as marriage takes place, and then whatever follows after that cannot be shown in the movie. For that you need long serials like Saas Bahu, you know. It cannot be explained in just 1, 2 or 3 hours. There is a whole serial. In fact, even they defeat Ramayana and Mahabharata, you know. It's a huge story. So, when it comes to relationships, then when they are started, when the initial sensitivity is over, initial enthusiasm is over, then what keeps those relationships going? What makes relationships smooth and what makes them rough? Is the subject matter of a beautiful article written by some of our senior Grihastha members in the ISKCON Communication Journal. So based on that article, Krishna conscious relationships, what makes them smooth and what makes them rough? We shall discuss 6 points today on what makes it rough. And then depending on the time we have, we shall see what makes it smooth also. The first point that is mentioned is that one must be fixed up in one's determination to achieve one's goal of becoming Krishna conscious. Without that determination to achieve one's goal to become Krishna conscious, that is a preliminary foundation. One can never continue in those relationships that one creates when one comes to devotional service. And that foundational principle is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at a very interesting time. It is the time of Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one, has now divided himself into two and again combined himself to become one. That means the Lord is one. For his enjoyment, Krishna expands into himself and Srimati Radharani, and they come back to join as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is looking at the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath in Rath Yatra, his mood is that I want to drag Krishna back to my own loving abode of Vrindavan. That is the zenith, the pinnacle of all spiritual emotions. Where Srimati Radharani is thinking that I should pull Krishna back to Vrindavan. And she is in a desperate mood of separation. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chants this verse. Naham vipro na cha narapati napi vaishyo na shudro. Naham varni na cha grahapatir no vanasto yatirva. Kintu prodhya nikhila paramananda purna mritabder. Gopi bhartur pada kamalayor das 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 anudasah. He explains what I am not and what I am. I am not a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, nor a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or a sannyasi. But what I am aspiring to become a tiny, insignificant servant of the tiny servants of Gopi Bharatur, Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis and the source of all universal bliss, transcendence. Kintu prodhyan nikhila paramanande. Nikhila paramanande. The universal transcendental bliss is coming from that personality who is maintaining not only the gopis but the entire creation. So unless one is fixed in his determination of achieving this one specific goal, relationships cannot last. It is not possible. Because human life is like trying to fly an aeroplane. For those who have experience of flying aeroplanes or flying in aeroplanes, one will see that because aeroplanes fly in the air, there are no specific demarcations in the air. If an aeroplane takes a left turn, it's not like taking a left turn on the road. If you take a left turn on the road, say from our temple, we will reach Bharati Vidya Bhavan. But if you take a left turn in the air, you don't know exactly how much left turn you have taken because you're in the air. You might go 10, 20 degrees this way, that way. So in the air, it's not like moving on the ground. Similarly, in human form of life, there are so many variables that come into our life and we are responsible to so many people that our life is constantly being pulled in this direction and that direction, and therefore we get lost. Many times people become confused and bewildered. What am I doing in my life? What am I supposed to do? Even Arjuna, after giving all his arguments based on scripture, he finally became so confused. He said, Krishna, I don't know what is my duty. Whether I should fight and kill them, or I should give up my arms and die. What is right to do? You please explain to me. And then Krishna starts explaining. So an aeroplane, it's actually moving in the air and has no specific idea whether it is going in the right direction. However, there are two things that help the aeroplane. One is the fixed destination, and the second is the feedback that the pilot gets from the ground, from his own personal understanding of the weather conditions outside, from the machines that see those weather conditions outside. So based on the feedback that we get, we can go ahead in life. But unless we are very clear as to where we are going, our relationships will not be able to pass through the rough weather, the difficulties that come in those relationships, and one may go far away in the wrong direction. Two examples I would like to quote in this regard. One is the example of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if one wants to give up lusty desires, then one must be determined and fixed that I do not want to enjoy this specific desire. And he gives the example of the Ekadashi Vrata, that if one is convinced that I want to follow Ekadashi, then even if the best of Mahaprasad comes, one will not take the grains, because one has already decided and is determined that I am going to fast today. Similarly, if one is determined that I want to become the servant of the servant of the servant, then even if all kinds of weather disturbances come in our relationships or in our life, then one can still remain fixed because one is determined, this is what I want to do. The other example is of one senior devotee in the early days of ISKCON decided to give up his ashram and enter into the Grihastha order of life. So many devotees were trying to preach to him that you are on such a senior ashram and you are such a senior devotee. How can you give up such a post? So many people are responsible, dependent on you, you are responsible. And that lady that you want to marry, she has three children and she is not so beautiful. So why do you want to do that? So this person said, no, I have already decided that I want to marry her and I will go ahead with that. So many devotees were giving him logic. Let's see, you are also a great pujari. And when you perform puja, there are especially two things that we take care before we perform puja of the holy deities. One is that we take our bath and become externally very clean. The reason is because this body is simply made up of blood, bones, stool, urine, so many obnoxious substances. So this body cannot be offered in service to the Lord. So one becomes very clean externally. And secondly, before one performs the worship of the deities, one does something called Bhuta Shuddhi. That is the purification of the body, where one makes one's mentality clear that I am, what is it exactly? I am apart from this gross and subtle body, and it is by the causeless mercy of Sri Guru that after many, many lifetimes, I have got this opportunity to be fixed in my real position of being the servant of the Lord, and I have got an opportunity to serve the lotus feet of my Guru, and by His mercy, the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath. So in this way, he purifies his body and his mentality, and is determined that now that I am fixed in my position as a servant, let me enter the deity room and offer my body in the service of the holy deities. So even after giving so much logic and reasoning, let's say you're a pujari, you're so clean, you know that this body is so abominable, then why do you want to engage in relationships which expand bodily relationships? But this person couldn't understand. So then they went to Srila Prabhupada and they asked Prabhupada, why doesn't this devotee understand that there is no beauty even in that lady, and she's elderly now and she has three children? And the only answer Srila Prabhupada gave is, when you say, I like it, finished, then there is no other logic and reasoning that will work. As soon as a living entity is determined and says, I like it, finished. After that, nothing else works. Then, one will be blinded and one will just want to enjoy what one has decided I will like. So if one has decided that my goal is to become the servant of the servant of the servant, and that's my only fixed nature, Then, in spite of all the roughness and difficulties that we face in this world, we will still keep coming back to our goal by taking feedbacks from our peers, from our seniors, even from our juniors, and try to keep relationships wonderful and happy so we can ultimately achieve the destination and the goal of our Krishna conscious practices, that is pure love of God. Therefore, in the Entering the Life of Prayer book, Srila Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj says that the first thing he did when he decided to enter the life of a prayer is he tried to fix himself to be in the position of being a servant. So in his mentality, he writes that instead of saying, I am doing this and I am doing that, he started relating to himself as, now Krishna's servant is doing this and Krishna's servant is doing that. Now Krishna's servant is going to give Bhagavatam class. Now Krishna's servant is going to go and take prasad. Now Krishna's servant is going to perform these services. So he would relate himself to be Krishna's servant. And in this way, he decided to fix his consciousness as being the servant of the Lord. And that was the first step he took in entering the life of ceaseless prayer, 24 hours being conscious of Krishna in a prayerful mood, in spite of doing all the activities of the body, which of course includes sleeping. So then, in this article of the 6 points that I mentioned, which makes relationships rough, the first point is weakness of personal character. When one's personal character is weak, it is impossible to have smooth relationships with others. Govind Prabhu, in his research in the Mahabharata, was telling us a very beautiful story the other day, that how when Maharaj Dushyant entered into the forest dwelling of Kandu Muni while he was fighting, he was searching for a place, and he entered the forest dwelling of Kandu Muni. He asked if there is anybody inside. So from inside, one Tapaswini came in, and Maharaj Dushyant was attracted to her. So immediately he asked her, who are you? And she said, I am being taken care by Kandu Muni. He said, it is impossible. It is impossible that you are the daughter of a Brahmana. Not because Kandu Muni is Urdhvareta, that he is a Brihat Brahmachari, he is a very strong Brahmachari. That is not the reason why I am saying that you cannot be the daughter of Kandu Muni. Because I am convinced that as a Kshatriya, I cannot be attracted to a Brahmani. I cannot be attracted to somebody of the Brahmin caste. Therefore, you must be a Kshatriya. You can't be a Brahmana, a Brahmani. So with this conviction, he asked her, please explain, who are you? And then she explained that actually I am the daughter of Vishwamitra Muni, was actually a Kshatriya previously, and now I am under the care of Kandu Muni. So the strength of the character of the personalities that we find in the previous ages was so strong that they were so fixed up in their own personal character, their own integrity of behavior, that they would not be wavered simply by situations around them. Such a conviction he had, that you cannot be a Brahmani because I am perfectly following the dharma, the rules and regulations of a Kshatriya. So how can I be attracted to one who is not a Kshatriya? I cannot be attracted to a Brahmani. She is only respect, worshipable and respectful for me. We also find in the Mahabharata that when Vyasadev took a vow, Bhishmadev took a vow to Satyavati, actually Satyavati's father, that throughout my life, I will never have claim to the throne of Hastinapur. Only the children of Satyavati will have claim to the throne of Hastinapur. At that time, it was a very great vow because a Kshatriya taking that vow was something very unique. Because Devavrat, the original name of Bhishma Pitama, he was the eldest son, and therefore his claim to the throne was first, but he took this vow. Now Satyavati's father, the fisherman at that time, he was a little extra intelligent. So he said that in the future, if you have children and your children have claim to the throne, then there will be a big problem. And actually his foresight was true in the next generation. Because Pandu's sons, Yudhishthir and the Pandavas were elder to Duryodhan and his brothers. So Pandavas had the first claim to the throne, but Dhritarashtra was not allowing them to sit on the throne. So he knew that these political intrigues could happen. And therefore he said that Devavrat, your sons, they might argue and they might fight for the throne of Hastinapur. So Devavrat said, I take a vow that I will not even marry. So there is no question of issues or sons. And I will never have claim to the throne, nor will my children ever have claim to the throne. At that time, all the demigods shouted, Bhishma, Bhishma, and they threw flowers on Bhishma Pitama for taking this great vow. Now Bhishma's vow was tested. When Vichitravirya died, at that time, there was no one to take care of the throne of Hastinapur. There were two wives, Ambika and Ambalika, true? But there was no husband. And there were no issues, they had no children. What to do? At that time, Satyavati, she gave logic to Devavrat, Bhishma, that I am the person who, because of me, you took this vow that you will have no children. Therefore you marry. I am personally telling you that you give up this vow. Because of me you took this vow. Now I am taking back that vow from you. And I am saying you marry, you produce children and you become the king of Hastinapur. It's very easy to take vows. In the thrill of the moment, to take those vows. But to continuously follow those vows in one's life is very difficult. And especially when there are crises and challenges. And we have justifications to give up those vows. I have personally seen a great soul recently follow his strong vow. I promised him I'll not speak about it in the Bhagavatam class. Anyway, so I'm talking about the vows which are so easy to take, but very difficult to follow when there are justifications and crises. So, the first temptation to Bhishma was, Satyavati said, because of me you took the vow, give up the vow, get married and take the throne. The second temptation he had was, she said, okay, if you don't want to do that, then at least produce children from the womb of Ambika and Ambalika, so that those children can continue the dynasty. And he said, no. And we remember the powerful dialogue that we heard in the drama, which was done a few years back in our drama festival, where Bhishma Pitama, he says, let the sky break down and fall on the earth. Let the earth crack to pieces. Let the moon give up its shine and let the sun give up its splendor. Let, etc. He gives so many wonderful examples and he says, however, I will not give up my vow. And again the demigods in the heavens, they shout, Bhishma, Bhishma. So, in spite of all obstacles, challenges and crises, Bhishma Pitama did not give up his vow. That was the strength and integrity of his character. Can you imagine him saying that let the fire lose its heat. Let the water lose its liquidity. Let the huge sky, which protects everyone, crack and crumble to pieces. And let the earth, which is maintaining everyone, break to powder and dust. Let the moon give up its sweet shine and the sun give up its splendor. But I, Bhishma, will not give up my vow. It's amazing. It's very inspiring. So, without this strength and integrity of character, it is not possible that one actually can maintain a relationship with anyone else. In fact, when Vyasadeva was called to create children from the wife of Ambika and Ambalika, what was Vyasadeva's character? He simply came, he produced the children and immediately left. That's why sometimes people give arguments from Mahabharata. Well, if Yudhishthira can play dice, then who are we small insignificant souls? But see what happened to him. And when he went to forest, he did not complain. If you have a small problem while playing dice, you start crying and cursing God. In fact, when Draupadi actually became weak in her morality and was challenging providence, that why these things are happening to us in spite of us being so moral and devotees, Yudhishthira Maharaj gave her so many wonderful instructions They do not lose the strength of your morality. Those who protect dharma are protected by dharma. And then they also give this excuse that Vyasdev, he is the person who wrote the scriptures, and his only children have come from the wife of his brother, Vichitravirya, because Vyasdev was born of Satyavati before her marriage in a very interesting situation. So, it is a fact that Vyasdev produced children from his wives, from his brother's wives. However, you see the integrity of his character. He simply did that and left for the forest. It is not that he created an affair and then he plotted against the family and he decided to take up the throne and he eloped with all of them. In Kali Yuga, all these things take place, and therefore it is varjit. It is banned that one can try to even enjoy with one's wife with these ideas that, oh, we are only trying to propagate the family. So, without the strength of personal character, relationships cannot last. We know the example from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Diti approached Kashyapa. Kashyapa Muni was a very great personality, but Diti approached him at the wrong time. And Kashyapa Muni said, just wait for some time. But because she was so desperate, she was actually lusty in her heart to enjoy with Kashyapa Muni. But Prabhupada explains, her lust was not unfounded. The fact is that because she saw that all her sisters had children from Kashyapa Muni, she was also desirous to have children. And that overpowered her intelligence, and therefore she actually forced Kashyapa Muni at the wrong time, at an inauspicious time, to enjoy with her, even though her desires were legitimate. So although the desires may be legitimate, although the relationship may be very nice, but if one has weakness of character and cannot control oneself, inauspiciousness will reign in those relationships and those relationships will break. Therefore, in the Vedic life, initially, first, one was trained as a brahmachari. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Puranjan enters the city, at that time, it is explained that beautiful women with many, many auspicious articles invite Puranjan into that city. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that women who are very pure in their character before marriage and are never touched by other men or even seen by other men, that is the power of their purity. Even Surya na pashyati, even the sun cannot see, because high class cannot be achieved easily. So such women are so auspicious to society that Prabhupada starts explaining the importance of such auspiciousness of chaste women who are very pure internally and externally before marriage. So when such auspicious women are inviting Puranjan, then it is explained it is a very auspicious situation for him. It is like his good intelligence and he is taking counsel from them. So Prabhupada explains that a brahmachari is trained with the same sex peers and a girl is trained by her mother and her other friends at home. And when such personalities come together, then such relationships are very pure and very strong, and they can pass through the rocky situations that come upon one's life in relationships in this world. So the strength of one's personal character has to be maintained. Therefore, Draupadi, although she had 5 husbands, when she knew that now it is time for them to leave, she saw that not even one of them looked back. They all went to the north when Krishna had left this world. And because Draupadi was trained in her childhood, she focused on Lord Vishnu. And she also decided to leave home following her husbands. So when there is strength of personal character, this strength of character does not come as by chance, or it does not come by some favor of someone. No, it comes when there is self-discipline, number one. And number two, when there is a continuous effort, because self-discipline is not a day's job. Govindprabhu was explaining there is a difference between falling and stumbling. Falling means there is no hope now of getting up. Stumbling means you're stumbling, but then you still have facility to get up and run. So self-discipline is not a day's effort. There is a continuous effort of stumbling, getting up, and again going ahead and ahead. And finally, the third thing is one needs good association. So when there is self-discipline, continuous effort and good association, then one can develop the strength of personal character, without which a weakness of character and integrity will not allow relationships to last for long. After the initial enthusiasm of creating those relationships. The second reason explained in the article for rough relationships in Krishna consciousness is incompatibility. It is explained that worse